Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We've been looking at the qualities of Ahlul Jannah. And one of the ahadith that we have that lists them perhaps in a different way is one whose last part we looked at when we were looking at Jahannam. And we looked at the inscriptions on the seven doors of Jahannam. This hadith is narrated or reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by the angel Jibreel about the inscriptions on these doors. So just to enhance what we've been talking about yesterday, let's look at the inscriptions on the eight doors of Jannah, and note that there are eight doors of Jannah and seven doors of Jahannam. Well, the first door of Jannah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لكل شيء حيلة وحيلة العيش أربع خصال. Everything has a means of attainment, and to attain the enjoyment of one's life, one must adopt the following four qualities: القناعة وبذل الحق وترك الحقد ومجالسة أهل الخير. Contentment, to honor the right of others, to abstain from feelings of hatred or enmity, and to sit with Ahlul Khair. And this is actually an expansion of all that we've been talking about yesterday with the ayat of Quran. Let's look at each one of these. Let's start with contentment. Well, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, the very famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, quotes Rasulullah saying, contentment is a wealth that never exhausts. And in essence, it means to be satisfied with what one has, to make the most of it in the best possible way. The wonderful story which says that dignity and wealth went wandering about searching for a companion, and when they met contentment, they agreed that this was the most perfect threesome. Often in life, we think that the grass looks greener on the other side, and there is a sense of dissatisfaction even when circumstances are favorable. And as a result, we tend to miss the best that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for our lives, and we fail to see the blessings that we already have. So often, we're always enumerating what we don't have. If only we were to focus on what we have, my God, وَعِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُعْصُوهَا. If we were to count the ni'mas of Allah, we would not be able to compute them. There is an ancient Persian legend which tells of a wealthy man called Hafaz who owned a large farm. And one day a visitor at his farm told him how he could find so many diamonds in other parts of the world and how these would make him even wealthier. Now the vision of this wealth that was portrayed to him made him feel so poor by comparison. So now he was discontented, and instead of caring for his farm, he sold it and he set out to look for the treasures. And the search literally proved fruitless, and finally, penniless and in despair, he ended his life by jumping into the sea. Meanwhile, the man who had bought his farm one day noticed the glint of an unusual stone in a shallow stream on the farm. And to his amazement, he pulled out a large diamond and, digging further, found a lot more. Now, poor Hafaz spent his life traveling to distant lands seeking the gems when they were in the very farm he had left behind. Very often we search for contentment in hopes and desires like wealth and relationships and power and comfort. And you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ra'd says, he says so beautifully, the ayah should be ingrained on all our minds. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innal qulub. This is ayah 27. Indeed or surely it is only by the remembrance of Allah that hearts are content. The Quran does not ask not to seek wealth or relationships or comfort, but it says that these things do not give contentment, for that's not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is seeking your full potential, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and contentment is only achieved if there is total submission to the will of Allah and total satisfaction with what He has ordered for us. If we look at the second inscription on this door, it says, وَبَذْلُ الْحَقِّ, to honor the right of others. And very briefly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Allah has made seven rights wajib upon a mu'min towards another mu'min. Upon one who is connected to Allah, towards another one who is connected to Allah. And the first one is to respect Him. The second one is to love Him. Followed by to share your property with Him. Fourth one is to consider backbiting Him or doing His ghiba haram. The fifth one is to visit Him when He is ill. The sixth one, to escort His funeral procession. And finally, to say nothing but good about Him after His death. May sound like a tall order, but it's awesome. Can you imagine if each of us did this to each other? It would be such an amazing society. You know, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting alone in the masjid, and a man came near him, and Rasulullah moved aside to make place for him. And the man said, Ya Rasulullah, the masjid is empty, there's so much space, why did you move? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Muslim has a right on another Muslim. When he wants to sit near him, the latter should move aside as a mark of respect. Can you imagine? In Risalat al-Huquq, this is a charter of rights, which is attributed to Imam Ali Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, Imam lists 51 rights. And if you look at some of them, for example, he says, the greatest of rights, wajib, is the right of Allah, which is the root of all rights. His right is that we worship Him without associating anyone with Him. But look what he says about the rights of those around us. I love this one because it's just amazing. He says, the right of one who is older than you is that he be respected because of age and honored because he entered Islam before you. The right of the one younger than you is to show compassion through teaching him, forgiveness, covering of faults, and helping him. The right of the one through whom Allah makes you happy is that you first praise Allah and then thank the person. He says, the right of the father is that you should know that he is your root, without whom you would not be. What you see in yourself, something that pleases you, know that your father is the root of that blessing. The right of your mom is that you know that she carried you where no one carries anyone. She did not care if she went hungry and thirsty as long as you ate and drank, and she gave up her sleep for you. The right of the one who imparts knowledge is to respect him, listen to him, attend with devotion. You should not raise your voice towards him. You should not speak while he is speaking, nor speak ill of him. If anyone speaks ill of him, you should defend him. You should not show any enmity or show hostility in friendship. If this is done, then Allah's angels will give witness that the knowledge learned from him was for Allah and not for the sake of the people. So many rights. Naturally, look up the charter of rights and see how we're able to honor the rights of others. The third inscription was وَتَرْقُ الْحِقْدِ, to abstain from feelings of hatred or enmity. You know, hatred and resentment and jealousy come up when we suppress our anger and release the consequences. And the consequences are normally breaking off relations with the person it is directing towards. And then it results, the manifestation is backbiting and slander and giving away secrets and so on and so forth. Sometimes the hatred comes out in the open, resulting in confrontations. Again, this results in destroying the nafs. The idea is to be able to understand the illness, and it is an illness, and then to cure it by first thinking over the consequences and know that it hurts the one who has it more than the one towards whom it is directed. Anger management is an amazing concept. It works so well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, when you get angry, he said, go and drink some water. Go and do wudu. Go and do ghusl. But do not speak until you have calmed down. There's a wonderful anecdote about an alim who relates that once when in Mashhad at the haram of Imam Radha alayhi salam, he saw a youth spending all his free time at the haram engrossed in ibadah. And the young man approached him and asked him to pray for him that he may meet the Imam of our times. The alim, who was then going from Mashhad to Karbala, went there and prayed, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving the wasila of Ali Akbar. That night he had a dream in which he saw the youth in a locked room. Outside the room was a notice which said that there were two qualities which prevented the young man from being freed from the room. And the two qualities were hatred and revenge for his brother in Iman. When the alim returned to Mashhad, he related the dream to the young man, who accepted his faults and endeavored to remove this disease from his heart. Hatred, revenge, resentment, jealousy, these are all manifestations of suppressed anger that has not been dealt with. And finally, on the first door, the last inscription says, وَمَجَالَسَتُ أَحْلِ الْخَيْرِ, sitting with أَحْلِ الْخَيْرِ. So, who are Ahlul Khair? The Ahlul Khair are defined as the knowledgeable, the ulama and the fuqaha. The companions of Prophet Isa alayhislam once asked him, "When you are not there, where shall we go?" And Prophet Isa alayhislam replied, "To one whom when you see you remember Allah, and whose knowledge reminds you of the hereafter." A wonderful anecdote that we hear all the time is how there were two groups of Muslims sitting in two different corners of Masjid al-Nabi in Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the masjid and glanced at each group. He asked what they were doing. One group was busy in the recitation of Quran and dua, whilst the other was busy learning and studying. They learned how to read and write and discuss the teachings of Islam and their application to their daily lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Both are striving towards goodness. However, I shall join the group who have assembled to learn." And Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam says, "To sit for an hour with an alim in a learned gathering is better than 1,000 years of ibadah." You can't even quantify it. It is so awesome. Inshallah, we will continue and look at the other doors of Jannah in our subsequent talks.